Good morning. I was thinking a lot this morning about Jesus coming to save us and the message of salvation. I'm thankful how simple it is and how we can understand it, and yet how much more God wants to work in our lives and how we can continue to grow in knowledge and of His Word. Like to read here in Ephesians chapter 2. I think first we could begin with prayer. Lord, I thank you that we can come here together this morning to read your word and to sing and to pray and to fellowship. Pray that we would understand, and I thank you that you have made salvation available and so simple, but you also want to continue to help us to grow and to know more of you. Just thank you for this morning, and I pray that you would bless the rest of the service, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So reading here in Ephesians chapter 2, I think I'll read the whole chapter, but I'd like to focus a little bit more on the second half of the chapter there. We'll start in verse 1. And you, as he quickened, who were dead in your in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the world, all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Yeah. Thinking about salvation through Jesus, if we look at verse 11, we see where we were. It says, remember that we were, remembering that we were Gentiles in the flesh, uncircumcised, not a part of God's people. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So the circumcision of Christ is a changed heart. It is also a changed life and that work that he wants to do in our lives. And there was a time in our lives that we were without Christ. We were not a part of God's people. We were strangers to the covenants of promise. The Israelites had a lot of commandments and covenants of promise, but we were strangers to God's promises. But we see that Paul is writing to people who are Gentile. These people were without hope. And without God, before accepting Christ, that's where we're at. I think about, let's imagine this morning that we were born a couple years before Christ and we lived most of our lives as a Gentile without hope. And then just thinking about as Jesus died, and if one of the apostles came and preached deliverance to us, how much we would appreciate that, and how much that, if we accepted that, how that would change our lives. I think we often hear salvation message and don't really appreciate it enough. I think of Brother Joshua studying for Bible translation. If he was to go to a unreached people group and translate the Bible and somebody was to read that, and then if they were to take that to an elderly man living in the jungle all his life looking for truth, looking for God, and he hears that message and it changes his heart, what that would do. But we have that same message. And the question is, will we accept it? And it's only in Christ that we can come near to God. Remembering that one time we were afar off, without hope. We were separate from God, but now the wall is broken down and we can come to God without fear because he has made peace through his cross. The law never really broke down the wall. The law came that people could obey it, but it never. There was always a veil in the temple and you're on the outside. We could never really come to God. Now God wants to dwell in us. In Ephesians 4, verse 6. Says, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So God wants to be working in and through us. And what better one to look to than one that is above all and has, he can see our past, he can see our future, and so we can trust him. We see that Jesus destroyed the enmity that was in the law and brought a relationship. That relationship brings us to a point of service, us coming to him. In ordinance and traditions didn't really bring the relationship that God wanted to have. We see in this chapter, I think Paul is trying to remind the people that the Jews are coming by the cross and the Gentiles are coming by the cross. And the Jews and the Gentiles are one in Christ. It's not the Jews and the Gentile. It's the people of God Because God wants a people. He wants to reconcile both the Jew and the Gentile to himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 18 and 19, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. God was in Christ reconciling, bringing us nigh, giving us the ministry of reconciliation. So both coming in one body by the same road, the cross, without the cross, both coming by one way, there would be still be a lot of enmity. And I think they were struggling with that in the early churches. The Jews still wanted to come by the law, and the Gentiles were coming by grace, but it was one. They both had to come by one way. In Ephesians 4, verses 3 through 6 there, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So to come as one body, we need to keep the unity of the Spirit. We need to be listening to God's calling and having one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. Verse 19 of Ephesians 2 there, it says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Going from strangers to foreigners and fellow citizens with the saints, we don't have to live as strangers. We can come into the household of God. And in verses 20 through 22, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we have a foundation. It's Jesus. It's the apostles and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. We have a foundation to build on. We have God's word gives us direction on building our lives. When we simply accept the foundation and follow God's word, the building of God, God's household can grow to be a holy temple, be what God wants it to be. As a people, God wants us for a habitation. I'm thinking about the temple and Gentiles being on the outside of the temple, and really the Holy of Holies, only the chief priest could go in. But God actually wants to dwell in us, our lives, as a temple. With his Spirit living in us. We see God's Spirit dwell in the camp of Israel with the fire over the tabernacle. And then on the day of Pentecost, God wanted to dwell in each person individually. And I think what that can bring is I can have God's Spirit, you can have God's Spirit, and it can bring an individualistic, or however you say that, individual. But God wants us to, wants to dwell in us together as well. He wants to speak to us as individuals, but he also wants to speak to us as a congregation. Just remembering the simple message of salvation and that he wants to continue to work in us. Thinking about a lot this morning.